Duty time is here. Every listener knows there's not a better time of year. Hear that sound. Nudie's on his way. Hip hip hooray for 12 days of Chasemas. What's up, Nudie? Welcome back to Cut Chase.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Fuck you. Happy Hanukkah. Merry Christmas. Kiss my ass. Kiss his ass.
Aren't you glad I didn't sing in that
opening? Oh, wow. I had to almost take a cold shower after listening to that intro.
I have the voice.
Cold shower
angel.
Time.
Don't drop the soap.
Thank you for joining us on our second episode of 12 Days of Chase, Miss Newts Magoots.
Oh, it is fun. I am glad to be here. This is an episode that is years in the making.
Is it?
Well, 1 year. 1 year in the making.
All right, 1 year.
Maybe two.
He said years, all dramatic.
Is this our third Christmas?
Yeah.
Well, we didn't spend our first Christmas together.
Right.
And we didn't. Oh, no, is this our fourth Christmas? No, that makes sense. We've only been together almost 3 years.
I stick with my statement. Years in the making.
we'll go with that.
But I think we were planning something in 2018.
Yes.
And then we were going to do it again last year, and we only got two episodes out for 12 Days of Chasemas. So let's hope we get past this episode this time.
Yes, indeed.
All right. So, Nudie, obviously we like to have a little fun on our show and ask questions and whatnot, but we've kind of already asked you questions when you did the Leprechaun show, like your introduction of who you are and whatnot. So we came up with a segment specific for you. Consider it our Christmas gift.
Oh, boy.
And this segment is called It's Not Christmas.
Okay. Did I get him to spit?
He did.
It's hard to kill Christmas, okay?
Let's spit on the computer, okay?
No, we actually, the fun little behind the scenes fact about that is we actually practiced saying that together. And that was not at all how he said okay, period. So he really threw me for
I worked on it in my mind. It was a method thing.
I don't know what the fuck you just did, but like he literally like regurgitated on the computer. But yes, this is It's Not Christmas. Okay.
I didn't regurgitate.
Yes,
fuck
you did.
You.
And in this segment, Newt, I'm going to ask you your opinion on whether you think these movies are Christmas films or not.
Oh.
Because if the listeners didn't know, he has a show called It's Not Horror, Okay.
Okay.
So, yeah. All right. So, the first film up. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Thinking cap on. The first film is Batman Returns. Is it a Christmas film or not? Why or why not?
Hell yeah, it's snowing throughout the whole thing. Isn't there like this gigantic scene in a mall with Christmas shit everywhere? Hells yeah.
So just because something has snow and Christmas decorations makes it a Christmas film?
Sure. Why wouldn't it? It's not a Halloween movie if it's not no jack-o'-lanterns running around in the movie.
Very true.
And hell yeah. And it has to have the combination of both.
So bad.
I'm not going to watch a cliffhanger because it's snowing and say that that's a Christmas movie.
Right.
But if it has.
And knowing Tim Burton, we should know, obviously, that, he loves Christmas time. But were you surprised when the sequel to Batman was a Christmas movie? Like, it kind of threw me off as a kid. I'm like, why is this taking place during Christmas?
I just think it just. It blended well for the character of the Penguin to be running around in the snow time.
That's a good point, the Penguin, because, it's cold and...
Yeah, I think it's just coincidence.
Oswald Cobblepot.
Yeah, that's Danny DeVito.
I've only seen that movie like once, and it was in the 90s.
One I really go back to too often, but it's decent.
Right.
Did you like Michelle Pfeiffer in the Catwoman suit?
Yeah, she's hot. She was hot.
Even at the end when she's got that crazy hair and she's got half the fucking suit on.
Yeah, that's like the walk of shame.
All right. Next up for It's Not Christmas. Okay. Is Gremlins, is it Christmas film or not? Why or why not?
I would say, yeah, there's a lot of Christmas stuff going on in that movie. Aren't they buying presents and shit for everybody?
Well, Gizmo is a Christmas present.
Right.
But these films
literally
are, like, highly debated of whether they're Christmas or not.
They're debated by idiots.
Exactly. Yeah, and I don't even care, like, what percentage it is, unless it's, like, a quick fucking, you know, montage scene or whatever where you see, you know, a Christmas tree and everybody dancing around it or something. Other than that, it could be, you know, 70% horror, you know, 10% comedy, 20% comedy, whatever. And even still have a little bit of Christmas in it for it to be considered a Christmas movie, I think.
Yeah, and I'm not to blow your game or anything, but I'm going to assume you're going to have Die Hard on that list.
That was next.
All don't right. Blow our
game. Yeah, why are you trying to blow my
life? I'll give you something to blow if you want something to blow, but don't you dare blow our game.
Spoiler alert.
Tomorrow.
All right, spoiler alert. The next film, of whether it's Christmas, it's not Christmas, okay? It's probably the most controversial, debated Christmas film or not Christmas film of all time, which is Die Hard.
How is this even a question?
Well, okay.
It literally says Christmas Day.
Right. Okay. Let me ask you a question. Why do you think that it's highly debated?
Because people are stupid. They want to argue about anything.
Right.
These are people that have no joy in their lives, and they just want to argue and fight about every little thing. Right. One guy could say the sky is blue. The other guy would say, no, it's purple. It's just because the people are stupid. It makes no sense to me. It literally says Christmas Day. There's Christmas party in the building. They're having Christmas music everywhere. I don't get it. How can it not be a Christmas movie just because it's an action movie?
Right.
People are just retarded, and I hate people.
Oh, Merry Christmas, Nudie.
All right, question number 4. Lethal Weapon.
Ooh.
And again, that's another one. It's there's Christmas music going on. There's Christmas lights everywhere. And I at one point, doesn't Riggs put on a Christmas hat, a Santa hat?
You want to get crazy?
I mean, again, if there's Christmas stuff in it, it's a Christmas movie. What's wrong with you people? It doesn't necessarily have to be about Santa Claus and everything else right. To be a Christmas movie. I mean, it's the timing of in place of the movie makes it what it is.
Exactly. Now, Jaws, next one. Jaws, a Christmas Story. No, I'm just kidding.
I mean.
All right. And the final one, Newts Magoots, is Iron Man 3.
See, now that one I'm not too familiar with. I've only seen it once, and it was abysmal in my eyes.
Abysmal?
I've never seen it, so I don't
know. Why was it abysmal?
What they did with the Mandarin character really kind of irritated me.
Dude, that's one of the fucking, that's one of my favorite twists ever.
I guess it is, because it falls under the same criteria as all the other things. It has Christmas elements and scenes in it, so I guess so. That one I wouldn't argue and put my life on, but.
Well, in that case, how about Edward Scissorhands?
Oh, yeah, that one definitely is.
I'm telling you, Tim Burton and Christmas. Yeah, we should know better by now. Yeah.
Right, Nightmare Before.
And I will say that definitively Iron Man 3 is a Christmas movie. Holler at
you. Well, nobody asked you.
Well, fuck.
That wasn't your segment. Okay.
Merry Christmas to me. Yeah.
Shut up, okay?
I hate you guys.
That might be a thing in this show.
It is not.
Shut up,
because
okay.
I'll fucking edit that shit up.
No, you won't. I won't let you. I'll sit there right next to you while you edit the whole thing.
All right, what's your next part?
What are they laughing at? They keep having these quick cuts.
All I hear is Lacey Lou and Dan talking. Newbies complete.
No. All right, guys. We are going to get into the movie that, you know, as Nudie stated, year in the making for him to be on this episode.
A classic.
And this year we did things a little bit differently for our 12 Days of Chasemas. I didn't tell everybody what they were going to be covering when they said they were going to volunteer. So
yeah.
I just messaged them, asked them if they wanted to be on the show.
Secret Santa sack giveaway.
We're terrible with giveaways.
Super sucker and tash, sucker free Sunday, Santa's. Yeah.
You're done. All right. So.
Wow. Baby needs a bottle.
So, I messaged Nudie and I asked him if he wanted to be a part of this, and he said, hell yeah. And I said, okay, your Secret Santa Chasemas movie is A Christmas Vacation. National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Yes.
Now, what were you thinking when I told you this was your movie?
I was happy because this is my all-time favorite Christmas movie ever.
And I remember that we were supposed to cover it.
Yeah. So she might have cheated a little bit by giving me this movie, but...
Yeah, I know some people are probably a little disappointed with what I gave them, but...
Now, is this the definitive all-time mecca Christmas movie? The end-all be-all?
For me, it is. It's just, it has everything. It's funny. It has some poignant scenes in it, like when he's talking to the little girl, and then it has the, you know, the boss and employee kind of dynamic that happens in most people in life, and stupid cousin Eddie, and the dumb family, and it has everything to make it just fit perfect together, and the comedy of, you know, you can't beat Chevy Chase sometimes with his comedic timing, and it's just, to me, it has everything. I mean, it's not like those movies that Lacey watches every day on Lifetime, but, you know.
Oh, dude. The Christmas Miracle, Part 3.
No, it was...
Will Suzanne find herself in a three-way... Not like...
What?
Oh, no, with Gary was and Willis.
That was cinematic, sorry.
All right. So, I mean, not like everybody hasn't already seen this movie before. If you have, you've obviously been living under... Or in hell, I guess I should say, with Mike Merriman, if you haven't seen this movie. I am going to read the description, because that's what we do over here at Cut to the Chase.
And they're never accurate, but we'll try again. Go.
The Griswold family's plans for a big family Christmas predictably turns into a big disaster.
Ah, yes, indeed. Now, you say predictably. Now, this is the third... vacation movie in the franchise, correct?
Yes.
Okay. The second one, the European Vacation, pretty much being the bastard
Nobody
child
really
of the franchise.
Nobody really talks about.
Would you guys agree with that, European?
Yeah.
It sucks, right? Okay. For me, though, the Vacation series, the first one, that movie is fucking hilarious. When you break down each scene and each situation... It really is just fucking comic gold. It's like, you know, the ultimate fucking kind of road trip movie.
Yeah.
So with this, it's kind of like, yeah, you have that those kind of same expectations going in. Like, oh, this is going to be great. They're going to find themselves into, you know, they're going to find themselves in all these types of different shenanigans. And that's what I love about it. When, Nudie, you said it has everything.
Mm-hmm.
The first basically half of the movie... is them going through all the things that everybody pretty much does on a yearly basis.
Or at least they used to do.
In one form or another. Yeah. I know in Iowa here, there are a lot of lights up.
Yeah.
Like a lot of Christmas lights already. And I love that.
You know, I was actually going to bring this up later, but I'll just talk about it now.
Do it.
My family never once had Christmas lights on our house.
No,
never.
Wow.
I don't know. It's fucking weird, I guess. I mean, we always had a tree and whatnot, but...
Why did your family hate Jesus, baby?
They didn't hate Jesus. I mean, we still had, like, huge Christmas parties and things like that, but, you know, my mom was a single mom for when we got our own place. You know, so I don't think she was going to get up on the rooftop and do all that when she's working two jobs.
Right.
You know, so, and Gary, once my stepdad came into the picture, he wasn't really into the spirit of all that. I mean, he would cut us checks. You know?
Merry Christmas to me.
Yep. Yeah. So he would just like cut us checks and then just be like, hey, he wouldn't wrap anything. Here you go. I'm like, thanks.
Sounds like me.
Yeah, Dan will not wrap presents. Do you wrap presents, Nudie?
I used to not, but I have the last few years. Even if they look like Aunt Edna's wrapping, I do wrap my gifts, yes.
It's the thought, right? Like, you don't put them in bags.
No, I used to, but now I wrap everything pretty much.
Yeah, Dan needs to get with the times
Yeah.
and
If I get gift cards, I buy like a tin or something to put them in.
Exactly, yeah. I can do it specifically so I can say you let the cat out of the bag. Oh!
All right, so guys, like the opening of this movie, I love it. Like it just gives you like this ambience of like that time frame that the film, this is John Hughes' film, obviously.
Right.
And the opening is a cartoon, and it's playing the song, you know, that obviously you hear at the beginning of this podcast. So, do you guys like the element of, like, cartoon openings?
Okay, so here's my thing with John Hughes. I always think that the balance was pretty good. He does this kind of stuff a lot, right? Even in the comedy, you know, the part with the sled, and he's, once he starts going, it's very, like, Roadrunner-ish at times. It's very, like...
Like when Juliette Lewis is frozen.
Correct. It's not over-the-top slapstick, but at the same time, there are those elements that are often, you know, throughout the whole movie, that it's worked through in the entire script. And I think that that beginning scene is fucking fantastic. Like I said, and I'm going to break it down into it, but first scene, we're going to get a tree. Like, that in itself could have been a movie, or like half of the movie, of just them going to get a fucking tree. Do you know what I mean?
And it's reminiscent of them in the first movie driving to Wally World, too.
Right, mm-hmm. Right, exactly. Yeah, 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 they do a good job of kind of connecting them all while just disregarding the actors as children.
Yeah, because they change every movie just about.
Yeah, every single movie, it's a different different Audrey and Rusty.
Yeah,
and
now,
this one, they are the most underutilized out of any other movie. Like, they're barely
they're
in this movie. They're barely in this movie.
It's
a giant cast, that's why. Like, there's so many people they have to focus on.
Yeah,
this one is Chevy Chase's movie, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Here's the one thing that I was, like, pleasantly surprised in, that I don't know if I, it's not that I didn't notice it last time, but for me this time, his fucking sarcasm and the shit that he says under his breath, and sometimes, like, his witty nature, he's fucking ruthless sometimes. Almost like, wow, like, you think of him as, like, oh, you know, the vacation movies, like, he's all corny and shit.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a ruthless motherfucker in these movies, especially to his neighbors and to his boss and stuff like that, you know? And I love that. I love that, because I never really picked up on that aspect.
Why don't you bend over?
Not you. Like, yes, it's so perfect. And I was just like... Wow, I don't know. Maybe, like I said, I it's not that I didn't realize it before, but this time it just came off fucking perfectly. And I don't know. I just love what Chevy Chase does in this movie.
I love what he does, you know, or maybe up until like maybe 2010-ish. I mean, I do love him in Community to some degree. There are some episodes that irk me with him.
Hot Tub Time Machine.
But I am a huge fan of his. You know, it stems from, like, Foul Play.
Right.
Seems like Old Times, like, Fletch. Fletch is one of my favorite movies. You know, Nothing But Trouble. Like, I just love him. Like,
Modern Problems.
Yes, his Memoirs of the Invisible Man. His comedic timing is just so impeccable.
Right.
And I just love him. I really do.
Yeah, absolutely. And here's the thing, too. You said that the focus isn't necessarily on the kids as much. It is more so
on him.
His movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. And not even Beverly D'Angelo's character that much. Obviously, the whole family, you know, is on the peripheral, so he's constantly interacting, and that's what's causing, you know, all these crazy things to happen throughout the movie. But yeah, I thought that the simplicity of, hey, you know, scene one here, we're going to find a Christmas tree. And then that just leads into, you know, the next thing and the next thing, putting up the lights. And literally every scene, you know, from that and Shitter's Full, like, there's just so many fucking classic scenes.
Good one-liners.
Yeah, and it almost feels like, it doesn't feel segmented at all by any means, but like I said, you could take any particular piece of this movie and fucking extend it into a full-length movie with these characters, and people would love it.
Yeah, I actually do want to get back to, you said about the trees. Okay. You know, how the family was going and looking for a tree or whatever.
Right.
You actually, Dan, used to...
Why you got to bring this up, baby?
It's a genuine curious question. I didn't ask you this earlier.
Yes, there was lots of sap. And it was sap.
That wasn't my question. But that was the question you had earlier. I was like, do you remember those magazines and they had those sticky things? He's like, I'm pretty sure that was sap, baby. I was like, oh, yeah, he was just touching a tree.
He just said it, yeah.
But no, that wasn't... All right, so no, you actually used to sell Christmas trees.
Uh-huh.
Did you have any families like the Griswolds?
Oh, my God, yes. People would fucking film the whole things, bring their dogs. Like, oh, it was a whole thing. The most cheesiest fucking, the Flanders, I called them. They showed up with little fucking speakers and everything. They had Christmas music playing. They had a wagon pushing their kids. And it was the most fucking obnoxious and ridiculous thing ever.
Did they tip you?
I didn't deal with them. I literally fucking found anybody else to deal with but them.
Oh. Were they there a long time?
Yes! They were, no, like, okay, these type of, listen, I get it. I get it. It's like an experience. But on the other end of it, like, I just want to fucking go home. I'm working out in the cold. Like, fuck this shit. I did get to sell trees to a lot of people I knew, though, which was nice. And you know, a lot of people would just show up like with a buzz on and like, so I just get to shoot the shit with them and like have fun at work. But, yeah, no, that wasn't that, that job didn't necessarily get me into the Christmas spirit.
Really?
So, no. God, you sold trees and you sold trees.
If I sold trees, I wouldn't have to sell trees.
Yeah. You, Nudie, have a real tree or a fake tree?
I have never in my life had a real tree.
I was going to say, Nudie's a fake. Nudie's like just one of those pop-up trees. Just fucking throw it and it pops up.
That's what
up
we have now, yeah. Connect two pieces together and that's it.
See, we got three pieces, but when I was a kid,
yeah, we're upgraded.
The tree that my mom had that was fake, like we had to like, it would be put in this like crawl space. Like,
yeah.
And we would have, me and my sister would have to crawl all the way into the back to like bring it out. Like, what? And it, like, we had to like duck under, like, cause my mom couldn't like get under there. So we had to put everything under there.
Right.
So we would be pulling it out.
Wow.
And this thing is fucking heavy as fuck. I'm like 5, Nikki's like 8, you know? And like, so we're like dragging this thing and it's huge. It's this huge fake tree and right. It's like color coordinated.
Oh yeah.
And you have to put each branch into its color coordinated number.
Right. Oh yeah. I remember.
And it like, never fit back in the box after.
Fucking nightmare.
No. And like, it took so long.
Yeah.
So long.
Yeah.
So like, I think I have a little bit of fake Christmas tree PTSD.
Yeah. I don't blame you there. No, nothing's better than the day after Christmas having to re-color coordinate all those fucking colors. Yeah, that was my job. I had to take markers and fuck it. Oh, this is the yellow one. Like, I think I fucked up a couple, too. They were the wrong colors. You got fucking big-ass branches on the top. What are you going to do?
Now, the reason one of this movie is one of my personal favorites
yes.
is because it has, like you said, you know, every element of comedy in it, but it also has, like, every element of, you know, everything that everyday people do for, as we were talking about, such as, you know, they go, when he goes to the department store.
Yes.
And the cashier lady.
Right.
Or lingerie lady.
Cool. That shows up later as Phoebe Cates.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
Did you? I didn't want to say it while we were watching it, but it's the same fucking thing.
Yeah, like the same red swimsuit.
Right. Yep.
Now, is she hot or not, Nudie?
Every time I watch the movie, that goes through my head. Like, I can't decide if she's hot or not. Like, she looks hot in some point, and at some point she doesn't. So I'm just going to say yeah, because you get the nice side boob shot. And
I think she's got a butter face.
Yeah, like it's hard. Like some scenes I don't like it, and then other scenes I'm like, she's not bad. So I'm gonna go with yeah, just based on her body alone, because her body's pretty damn hot.
What about you, Dan?
Yeah, she's all right. It's whatever. But here's the thing. As far as this movie capitalizing on every aspect of Christmas, I feel like they may have missed an opportunity here.
What do you mean?
In capitalizing on kind of the commercialism aspect of it. Like, you don't see, you know, and obviously Jingle All the Way fucking took that and picks up for it and makes up for it. And it's great for what it is. And obviously Jingle All the Way doesn't have all the classic things that this movie has. But I do feel like if we would have seen something like that, you would have gotten everything across the board as far as what this movie has to offer in terms of Christmas.
Well, the two things that I noticed that were advertised quite frequently was Illinois and Chicago Bears.
Yes.
Yep.
And dog food when they're going through the store with Eddie.
Right.
And he's just, you know, putting the random different kinds of dog food on top of the cart, and he puts Clark grabs the light bulb.
He doesn't have money for presents for his kids, but he has enough to buy 25,000 bags of dog food for snot.
I just assume Clark was buying those.
Like, I would be so fucking livid if people just started putting shit in the cart, like, expecting me to buy them. Like, are you fucking crazy?
Yeah, I think Clark knows whatever Eddie's around, he's going to be paying a lot of money.
Eddie thought he was getting that dope bonus. The 20% will make up for it.
This movie has so much fucking heart. Like, when you don't expect it when it comes either, because it's when the moment that gets me, there's a couple of them in this film actually, but the first one that gets me is when he's up in the attic. And, you know, he gets locked up there and he comes across his old home Christmas movies.
Yeah.
And all of the, like, almost all of my home videos that I have are all from, like, Christmas when
right.
I was a kid.
So we watched one year, remember?
Yeah. And,
oh my God, it was hilarious.
And so, like, it just, it brings me back to, like, need to start filming these things again. Like, for some reason, like,
right.
that aspect got lost along the way within me and my traditions. And so we're going to bring that back this year.
Yeah, and then she pulls the thing down and just falls. No, here's what I'll say about that attic scene, and I thought about this the whole time, and during other aspects of this movie that kind of reflect this, but at Christmas time, you always find yourself in these odd positions, meaning up in a fucking attic, like in a white sweater or something, because you're dressed up as family guy. Oh, go get the tables from fucking upstairs. And it's all dusty. And you find yourself in these spots that you're never really fucking at. Usually fucking dressed up like you're not normally dressed. And it's just, that's what I think of when I think of Christmas. I think about fucking, you know, dusting shit off and like, like just doing stuff like I'll give you an example. You know, during Lacey Lou's birthday, I had given you a gift. Well, I didn't think about how I left this, not the price tag, but a little tag on it. And you're like, yeah, can you get this off? So I'm in the fucking restaurant, like, trying to pull this thing off with my fucking doofy-ass fingers. Everybody's, like, watching me, and I'm like, oh, fuck, I didn't plan for your birthday to go this way. You know what I mean, though? It's like those things that you just totally don't think of. So this Christmas, I'm cutting off all the fucking tags beforehand.
Well,
I'm getting
supposed to do that.
I'm even. Yeah, I know.
Like, what do you mean?
Listen,
like, that's like common knowledge.
I'm trying to become a person.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Okay, so obviously we've talked a little bit about Cousin Eddie, but do you feel like every scene that he's in, do you feel like he steals the show?
Cousin Eddie is just outrageous, and I'm glad that he's a recurring character.
Right.
He's I mean, the guy went nuts in real life too, but he's one of them UFO space conspiracy guy.
Wasn't he in Independence Day?
Yeah, you interviewed his son in Independence Day, yeah.
That's funny. Do you think Independence Day is where it all started for him then?
Probably. No, here's what I'll say about Cousin Eddie. He is so good in this movie. Do you think that this is his best performance? That sounds so stupid. But
No.
It's Vegas, right?
No. Are you talking about within the franchise? Or
yes.
I was going to say Moving is by far his best performance.
Oh, okay.
You've never seen Moving with Richard Pryor. Have you seen it, Nudes?
Oh, years ago, but I don't remember anything
of it. Rewatch
it.
so fucking funny.
He is great. No, yeah. he's definitely or was a great actor.
I think his best. This one is it's like a tie between this and Vegas.
I think it.
give me some of the
yellow. And then the plate that he talks about in this movie comes back.
Yeah.
He hits it and he just his eyes shake around. It's so fucking funny.
If it gets dented there, my hair is not going to look right.
my favorite line out of this whole movie actually comes from Cousin Eddie.
Oh,
when
yes.
They're sitting at the dinner table and, you know, the dry bird comes out. But so Clark is like trying to like make a distraction or whatever. And he says to, you know, the little kids, he's like, hey, he's like, kids, I heard on the radio or the airline or whatever that they spotted Santa's sleigh in New York. And the kids are like all excited or whatever. And Cousin Eddie looks over at Clark. He's like, you serious, Clark? If that doesn't speak to the level of his, like, intelligence, like, I don't know. Like,
yeah. Serious question? And I didn't know, honestly, if it was meant as, like, he's dumb or if he's just so shocked because of how dumb that sound is. But either way, it doesn't matter. The joke still works hilariously.
Yeah, he doesn't even have to say anything after. Just his facial expressions say everything. It's great.
Exactly. And also too, you know, you mentioned when that turkey pops open.
Mm-hmm.
I am like scarred for life because ever since I saw that as a kid, anytime like I have like dry turkey or something like that, it just immediately goes to that. And like when you see the smoke come out of it, I can like smell that.
I think I when they're eating it, I felt like I was like it's a moment.
Yes,
it really is.
Exactly.
But like the thing is, for me, I've never had a turkey on my table like that. Like
always
carve it.
Yeah.
And then they just put like the carvings in on a plate and pass it around.
So it doesn't have shape.
I've never seen a turkey like without it being carved. Yeah, like there's so many iconic scenes. Like I keep saying that, but I mean this movie is such like it's tradition for so many families. Like I see on Facebook like every year a lot of people watch it like at the day after Thanksgiving.
Right.
The day before Christmas or on Christmas.
Right.
Christmas Eve or on Christmas. You know, so this is it's just a classic. So, and it has, as we stated, so many family elements like sledding. Again, something I've never done.
Like, how have you been sledding, dude?
What do you mean?
Lord.
Like, that's fucking ridiculous.
I told Dan, I was like, we're going to get a sleigh.
Oh,
or
my
a
God.
Sled.
A sleigh. You're going to get a sleigh. You're my Rudolph. You're going to fucking pull me around.
Well, you do got a big nose.
That's fucked up. But no. sledding's fucking tons of fun, baby. But here's the thing. You usually have to walk back up the hill. So
oh,
I don't.
Oh, God, right?
What?
That's tired after a while.
Well, no, that's when you go to. That's when we go to Sleepy Hollow and you get on the
Oh, they got the ropes.
The
yes.
You got the lift.
Yes, we saw that.
Yeah.
Yep.
We actually rode the lift for Halloween
we did ride
a year ago.
Lift.
Yeah, so
we went
no,
live
I don't,
on it.
I don't have to.
Well, fuck me then.
Ha.
Have him on the lift.
So, okay.
Okay.
I've never been sledding.
Okay.
Have you been sledding? I'm taking that as a yes, Nudie.
Hell yeah! And one of the last times I ever went sledding. We used to live in the – we had a driveway on the side that went downhill, so it was this giant deep dive, and we had so much snow that it would cover the top of it. So we went from the front yard over the edge of the hill and right down and bounced down, and my nuts went right into a tree branch.
I hurt. Cover?
I was in pain for a few days, but I still have my nuts, yes.
Just barely, folks. Just barely.
Yeah, barely survived the tree incident of 1975.
This was in 1975?
Those.
I don't remember, but it was that.
Those
when I was
round
a kid,
saucers,
yes.
Though. Those round saucers are the way to go. Now, here's why. I have a fucking sledding story. I had this thing. Now, it looked fucking cooler than it like actually rode. Like it was very stiff. And I was fucking going down, cruising, start heading straight for a fucking tree. So the last second I fucking dive off, this fucking thing, it was just like a movie. This fucking thing hit the tree and split in two. This thing just went bloop, both ways.
Good thing you weren't on it.
Thanks.
Dan would have split in two.
And in a similar incident, my brother actually broke his collarbone sledding.
You're not making a case for me to go sledding this
year.
We're
the ultimate fucking sled brothers. What are you talking about?
Well, you don't. You have to go sledding in safe spaces, Lacey, not where there's trees and everything else like Clark did. He's lucky he only went through an outhouse the way he did.
Right. Right, exactly.
Now, I have a question for you guys.
Yes.
All right, so these movies are, you know, it's obviously like a franchise at this point, right?
Correct.
So they're centered around vacations. And this obviously isn't like your atypical vacation. Would you, well, I mean, he's still working.
Right.
Like throughout.
Right.
I mean, is it based on a vacation because of the family's coming in, like, even though he's still working almost the entire movie?
I think that despite him working, I think that it's implied that everybody else kind of has it off, especially the rest of the family that have come to stay with him.
Well, it is. It could be he's working up until Christmas vacation.
Right.
It's a setup to Christmas, so.
Well, his employer obviously sucks, so he's working through Christmas.
But this also takes place, obviously, like you said, leading up to it. But normally people have at least a few days off, but you also always have that family member that's fucking working too.
Yeah.
So there is one, and in this case it's him, because Clark Griswold's kind of a cuck.
He's the great family man, as that his co-worker said.
Right, exactly.
So is it a staycation?
Wow, kind of.
There you go. On the way out, you can sing that Christmas staycation.
Christmas staycation.
Wow.
You guys gotta be shitting bricks. No, I love.
Shouldn't use that word.
I love when she goes. She's like, I don't think Santa's real. She's like, last year we didn't do nothing wrong, and we still got the shaft. And it was like the little girl's so cute, but like she looks so dirty.
Right, and you can tell she's got a mouth on her too.
And like you just know like what type of person she's gonna grow up to be. But like she's so cute and like you want her to have a nice Christmas, but at the same time you're thinking like, fuck, she's fucked.
Right? You think of Eddie and how he's explaining to Clark about if the dog starts humping you, just let him finish.
Just let him finish, Clark.
It's like that mobile home I didn't borrow. It's mine. Now, let's get into the neighbors, because obviously, like, neighbors play a part in the holidays as well.
Right.
To some degree. Like, our neighbor fucking sucks, and I hope we were hoping she was going to be moved out by now.
You mean evicted? Evicted?
Stop it. He's screaming so she can. Isn't Big Brother Canada?
She's trying to explain her. Can you believe her? She's going to kick our mother out on Christmas. I'm like, yeah, if you don't pay your fucking rent for 4 months. The fuck out of you, this shit.
This is a true story. This Get is all ass, true. We've talked about her a couple times on the podcast. But yeah, she sucks. She should have been gone on the 30th, and she's still here. So we thought we were going to have like a nice little like month before new neighbors were going to move in.
Yeah, she's our Elaine.
Yeah. Oh, no. A nice place.
Yeah, no, they were. Yeah, they're actually subdued compared to this bitch. But no, I actually think that as characters, as much as they sucked or whatever, I feel like two slightly underutilized. You could have had fucking a big part of the movie, you know, having them go at it with them more, you know, kind of neighbor war type things. But again, what they did do with it, I thought was great. But that, I think that speaks to the movie, where you can easily look at any part of it and say, like, oh, that's a great little bit. I could fucking watch a whole movie of that, you know?
Well, I think that's what it's such a big ensemble, like mm-hmm. we said before, that, you know, like, you can only have certain parts. I mean, the kids only had, like, one little bit, like, Rusty's right. scene was when, you know, he's at the counter and he's like, you see that line, Rusty? You sure do, Dad.
Double takes. And
then,
shit.
And then, you know, Juliette Lewis, you know, all she had was when they pick up the tree and she's frozen.
Right.
I mean, those are like pretty much the only moments you have with those kids in the film.
True.
Basically, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And
well, that one part where Clark was like, why don't you come up here and help me with the rest of these lights or whatever. And he's like, oh, look at the time. I got laundry to do, homework to do. I got to bop the banana or something like that. feed the beast or something like that, he said. It was fucking hilarious.
Yeah, he was in it way more than she was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I also feel like if they were in it, it was just to kind of be somebody else to work off of Clark. Like when he gives him the big fuck, he has a little knot there. And he's trying to get the knot out of the big thing. Like, yeah. A lot of it's that type of stuff. But I also feel like if they did, like kind of the little girl said, they got shafted, so to speak. Yeah. I thought that they were used great because they were needed where they were needed in order for kind of Clark to do his thing.
I wanted to see them open the presents Clark gave him.
Right?
I did.
Yeah. Now, there's a scene where I think it's Memorial Day where he's up in the attic and he finds an old gift that he was going to give her. It's just
a Mother's Day gift from like when he was a kid.
What ever happened to you guys? Have you ever like not given somebody a gift and then like re-gifted it?
Yes.
That was such a quick answer. Do tell, Lacey Lou.
It was your last birthday, Dan.
So fucked up.
It was a big frozen pack of Hot Pockets that thawed out for 2 years.
I would know.
It was still good.
You really want me to be honest with this?
Well, go ahead. Yeah, there you go.
Okay, well, I had bought some outfits for my mom before I came to Massachusetts, and I never gave them to her, so I just gave them to your mom instead.
That you did! Oh my god, you did that! Yeah. You did that! That was like a gift from Santa himself to us because it was the same size and everything. That was perfect.
Right?
Yeah.
She had no idea.
And you know what, too? She fucking loved it. She still wears those fucking pajamas or whatever you got her.
Yeah,
she
does. That's a good girl you got there. You should keep her.
You know, Danny, I just love it. Yeah, you can keep her.
Any girl that buys your mama some dresses, she's a keeper.
Now, if only I could get her to help me work this computer.
No, a funny story about
that's
his...
A true
no, okay,
statement.
So when Dan was selling Christmas trees...
That's why you...
This is a great story.
Wow.
But he's going to get mad at me for telling it, I can tell you that. They were having an event at work, and it was called Ladies Night. And, so they were having, like, a bunch of vendors or whatever, and wine, supposedly. And so I was trying to, like, make nice with his mom or whatever, you know, and, just try to build that relationship. And so I invited her and his grandma to go to this thing at Dan's work. And she got really, really excited about it. Well, her and Dan ended up getting in a fight about something. And, like, this is so fucking stupid. But he's like, and you know what? You can fucking forget about going to ladies' night. She got so sad. She literally got so sad. And, like, they made up, like, 20 minutes later. But that was the one thing that apparently, like, struck a chord. Like, he's like, you're uninvited. And so, like, whenever they made up or whatever, she, like, had, like, this little puppy dog look on her face. And she looks over at him. She's like, can I be re-invited to ladies' night, please? But we went to that event.
And it was lame as fuck.
See, oh, it was terrible.
Here's the thing, too. Like, and it wasn't even that I didn't want her to go. It was the fact that, okay, I'm being modest here, but when we put fucking events on the Cape, yo, we drew crowds. Like, I knew that this little thing that my work was trying to put together was fucking nothing. And it was going to be shit. And they kind of, you know, presented it like, hey, we got mad food. We got this. We got that. They didn't have shit. They didn't have shit, and I knew that, so...
Well, it was all expensive shit, jam-packed.
So just like I thought was going to happen, my mom goes, and I'm like, it wasn't what you thought, right? Like, because she was so excited reading it. Oh, they're going to have oven-cooked pizza? Oh, my goodness! And she's getting all excited, and I'm like, listen,
samples.
Yeah, exactly.
Like a toothpick.
Exactly. I'm like, this is going to be lame as fuck, and then after it was, I'm like, I wasn't what I thought it was going to be. I'm like, Jesus, fuck.
Yeah, it definitely wasn't. It was, I regret
everything.
Well, I heard it on the radio, and I was like, this sounds like fun. And I was like, hey, this is going on at your work. You're like, baby, no. I was like, I already asked your mom. He's like, damn it, baby.
Hey, at least I got a break from fucking selling Christmas trees outside. I get to go inside and get fucking pizza samples.
With toothpicks in them?
Yep.
And, all right, guys, I want to talk about, like, the major component of this movie. Money. No. I mean, obviously, like, it's a family movie or whatever, but a lot of jobs, you know, give Christmas bonuses. I know mine does, you know, so, and each year they seem to increase. So, like, I kind of get Clark Griswold, and everybody kind of expects it. So, did you guys ever get, like, Christmas bonuses, or?
Abso-fucking-lutely. Well, some jobs.
Yeah. Not now. Not where I work now, but when I was in Rhode Island all the time, and it was good bonuses, too.
Well, okay, here's the worst, though. Cause
did you ever get enough money to buy a swimming pool, though?
No.
No.
Get like $200.
No, here's the worst thing, though.
The highest I ever got was like $1,500.
Well, that's like quadruple the amount that I got, so.
That's a fucking huge bonus,
yeah.
Dude.
Yeah, well, I was there for almost 20 years, too, so through the years, yeah. it got higher, like Lacey said.
Jesus Christ, Nudie, how old are you, 87? here's the thing about jobs, though. There's nothing worse than not getting a Christmas bonus, but instead they're like, hey, guys, we're going to have a fucking pizza party instead. Like, what?
Yeah, basically.
What?
Jelly of the Month Club.
You are, okay, so instead of giving me straight fucking cash, which would actually help me during this fucking holiday season, so I actually have enough fucking money, you're gonna give me fucking 3 or 4 slices of pepperoni pizza that's fucking cold on a paper plate and make me stand around with my fucking coworkers that I don't even fucking like? Yeah, from Little Caesars or whoever. What the fuck? The fuck out of here with your pizza. You know what's funny? My boss actually addressed this at my last job. That's a fucking key part to this story. At my last job, my boss addressed the fact that, oh, yeah, you know, we promise we're not going to do a pizza party because we can't give you guys bonuses. We wouldn't dare do that. Guess what this year was? Fucking pizza party. He's like, no, but we're doing chicken on the grill too. Man, fuck your chicken. Merry Christmas, you little hoe.
So you definitely felt like Chevy Chase.
And then, yeah, exactly. And then as far as this new job that I got, fucking first week I'm in there, they're like, happy Thanksgiving. Here's a $25 gift card to the grocery store. I'm like, I love you guys.
I work, obviously, everybody knows I work at Disney. They don't do shit. They used to give us a little metal ornament for our tree. They stopped doing that 2 years ago because I think people just weren't bothering to go pick it up because they were like, fuck that. I think they think that because we went to go to the parks, that counts as our bonus. I don't know, but
that's the shittiest bonus ever.
Yeah. Like, I don't even care to go anymore.
Like, can I pawn this for cash? Like, what the fuck?
Now, what did you feel about Bill Murray's brother in this?
He's fucking awesome.
As the asshole boss. He's perfect, right?
It's great.
Get me somebody. Anybody.
Right. Well, here's the great part about him as well. It does kind of mirror the John Candy scene at the end of Vacation.
Okay. You know,
with the cops and everything.
Only this time it's Cousin Eddie. Cousin
Eddie straight gets him because he says
like,
it earlier.
If anybody wants to get me a last minute Christmas gift.
He just shows up and the guy's all wrapped up.
And he puts him in a bow. He really did.
That is fucking classic and just like so psychotic that like it's overlooked. But yeah, Eddie straight up kidnaps somebody.
Shitter's full.
Actually, I guess not that overlooked if his wife noticed. So yeah.
Yeah.
His wife was kind of scary too. She should have stayed in the back of the police car.
Yeah, right. And by the way, as far as like, you know, I've seen enough police procedurals to know that like after that soon of like a raid, I highly doubt that they would just escort the wife of whoever was just kidnapped into the house just like seamlessly.
Yeah, well, I just say that's because they live in a small town and they're probably the richest people in that town. And the way the police were kissing her ass. You know, she wasn't going to have no, take no for an answer.
Well, and also the police were that dumb that when the guy said freeze, they all froze. And he just said, not you.
Yeah, right.
Oh, you got to consider that.
All that was missing was the Halloween 4 cop music or Halloween 5 cop music.
What did you guys think about Bethany with, you know, she does the Pledge of Allegiance and then the Star Spangled
Banner? I think that's Pledge fucking hilarious, great. Too. Yes. Yep. And then you got, what's her name from fucking Everybody Loves Raymond and Grandma's Boy?
Doris is her name?
She's yep. fucking fantastic.
Doris Roberts.
Doris Roberts. Yes, Sam dude.
Sam was like, is that Doris Day?
It's like, how many Doris do you know? I had a 50-50 shot. Whatever. Doris Knight. That's who she is. She's fucking, she's Raymond's mother.
And then you got the guy from, oh, God, I said it earlier. Tales from the Dark Side.
The old guy.
Yeah.
What else is he in? He's in some classic fucking movies, that guy is.
William Hickey is his name. He was in Sea of Love with Pacino. He was a voice in Night Before Christmas. Major Payne, The Outer Limits, The Jerky Boys. He was Uncle Freddy.
He was in The Jerky Boys. Holy shit.
What is the fucking Jerky Boys?
You kick my dog? What the fuck are you talking about, Sal? You know The Jerky Boys?
No.
It's right down on aisle 4 next to the creams.
What are you talking about? Oh, I hate that word. Right.
It was a comedy series of audio recordings of guys calling up and crank calling people.
Like,
you never heard of Frank Rizzo?
I heard Frank
fucking Rizzo.
I'll come over there and kick your ass. It's Frank
kick
Rizzo.
Your fucking ass, Sally. Well, Frank Fingers would be nothing if it wasn't for the Jerky Boys.
Yeah, is that what they ripped off?
Absolutely, 100%. You kicked my dog.
He was in Bright Lights, Big City with Back to the Future Boy. Puppet Master, he played Andre Toulon in the first Puppet Master.
That's what I was fucking... He's in the movie for like 5 minutes, isn't he? In the
beginning?
Yeah.
Did you guys see that Tales from the Crypt episode he was
we
in?
Did.
That was like one of the best ones.
Yep.
Oh God, which
classic.
One is it? Like I'm picturing it.
Where he pays this young guy to take over his body and they switch pieces at a time or whatever so he can be younger.
Yep.
Oh yep. Yes.
I think it's Rick Rossovich that's the other guy. Yeah, Rick Rossovich is the young guy.
And Kelly Preston. Rossovich. Sorry.
Yeah, Kelly Preston's in it.
Yes.
Oh, really?
Why don't you love me?
I don't remember her in it. Yeah, that's a classic fucking episode.
Yeah, he
wanted
to be with her.
And I think that's what I was actually thinking of him from. Yeah.
Yeah, he did all that so that she would be with him, and then she ended up going with the other guy because he had the other guy's money now.
Right, exactly. Yes. Yes. Ah, how Golden. True to life.
Don't say that word. Shit rocks.
Now, what is your favorite scene of this entire movie, Newts?
Oh, this whole movie, God, there's too many to pick a favorite.
Right?
I mean, to put me on the spot like that,
one that popped into your head.
Yes. I mean, the shitter's full. It's the all-time classic scene. I mean, everybody loves that. I like when all this shit happens to the neighbors. It makes me laugh every time because they're such an evil couple.
Right.
So, like, why is the carpet wet, Todd?
And the light shining in on them.
It's like, I just love it. And then when they finally get the lights on and they're falling all over the house and he falls down the stairs and it's just so cool. And she's literally like crying, oh, my carpet! Like, they're the ultimate douche couple, you know? It's just so funny.
Couple. I like that terminology. Are we a douche couple, Newts?
No.
No.
Don't put me on the spot, Lacey.
What do you mean?
He's like, how long do I have to answer this?
A million trillion years.
Wow.
Uncle Clark, are you Santa Claus?
Are you sure you're not Santa Claus?
You got shafted.
He was about to pull his wiener out and she walked in on him. Santa! He was like, ooh, jeez. too fucking funny.
Like, I love how he, like, tells his family that he's going to get them a Christmas tree. Or not a Christmas tree, but a swimming pool before he opens the bonus.
Well, and then, he keeps dragging it out, and before he looks at it, he just keeps digging it deeper. So you know it's going to happen.
Yeah, he's like, I put it on in my checking account that I couldn't afford. I didn't have the money in there to cover it.
Right. And I do like how kind of, swiftly that was handled in terms of the boss kind of having a change of heart. Like, he literally says it in a couple lines, and he's just like, no, I'm not pressing charges. He's like, these people call me out on some bullshit I did. Like, I feel like that would be, like, my explanation. Like, listen, guys, I fucked up. I'm sorry. Like, I'm a douchebag. Here's an extra 20%, like, just to show that I love you. Let's keep it moving.
Right.
Like, I loved how that was just kind of handled at the end. Because it's like, so many times in these plots, they'll focus too much on the heart aspect, and it starts to get like a little cheesy, even for a moment, and not in this instance at all. I thought it was just seamless. It was very swift. It felt like Chevy Chase's humor. It was just like, nope, we're good here. Let's get out, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the last thing I want to talk about before we get into our ratings of the film is, what did you guys think about the transitions with the advent calendar of, you know, like it telling you what day it is and like that would be like the next transition?
Yeah.
It was funny. I mean, it moved the story along. I knew you were getting closer to Christmas, so you knew the zaniness was just going to increase as the days got closer to Christmas.
It's smart, right?
Right.
I mean, we've talked so much already and we miss so much of this movie, like, it's just incredible the stuff that we missed. And we could talk about this movie probably for 12 hours if we wanted to.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt.
That's how good it is.
Was there anything that we missed that you wanted to bring up?
Well, the whole family dynamic we really didn't get into. Like, when they're all together, all they're doing is bickering and fighting, which is like real families, of course.
Right.
He burns down the Christmas tree, which was foreshadowed by Eddie telling a dog not to drink from there. So the tree, the tree burns down. His toupee is burning. His back is all burning. And the aunt, the crazy aunt, brings Jell-O with cat food in it, and just all these wild zany things. The squirrel in the tree.
Oh, the fucking squirrel, dude.
Cat.
The cat. I mean,
it's just the whole dynamic is crazy. But it's a thing of the past now, too, if you think about it. Like, I grew up, and Dan said it earlier, families all got together. Your families got – you went to your grandmother's house or whoever's house. You had this gigantic Christmas dinner. You all got together and spent the day. And not necessarily exchanged gifts because, buying gifts for 35 people is a lot of money. But you just got together as a family, and you had that holiday meal – whether it be in your family basement or wherever. And none of that goes on at all today. Like, none of the cousins and whatnot keep any of those traditions alive anymore.
Like, they're all divided.
Right.
Yeah, like families are just not. Yeah.
I used to go to, like, because my family, I had, like, three separate ones. So, like, I have to go to so many because, like, some brothers and sisters don't get along. So you have to go to their Christmas and then their Christmas, the other brothers that you're – people were beefing with. Like, I mean, it's crazy.
Oh, yeah. You get the family fucking dynamic for better or worse. I think, though, too, as, as everybody gets older, I think it's kind of, it's kind of our duty to not only please that booty, but to continue traditions, to kind of cultivate it to, what works for us nowadays. Because that's what I'm saying. Like, we're big advocates for trying to always get people together and stuff like that. As everybody gets older, it seems like, though, everybody's got their own agenda. Nobody wants to do anything or whatever. But, I mean, hey, man, you're trying to make memories here. You're not going to make memories if you're just fucking sitting there under your tree by yourself, fucking opening up a present that you gave to yourself,
Right.
Yep.
It's like you gotta at least try.
Yeah. Like, my family, they pretty much, my dad doesn't like Thanksgiving. He doesn't want to do it every year. I got to go and be like, we're having a holiday because one, I don't know how many more we're going to have as a family,
Right.
I mean, people get old, and it's like, we got to do something to keep this alive. We're in Florida as it is, which sucks for holidays because it's always hot for the most part.
Right.
So it's not the same feel. You know, all of our other family is in Rhode Island. They're not here, you know, so it's basically just my immediate family. And I try to keep it, keep the holidays alive just so we have some kind of normalcy, you know?
Right.
Like, I'm not a sentimental guy, but I like to have Thanksgiving. So I'll cook and then we'll watch football all day and drink beer and just have a good time together as a family. And, you know, it's just I'm trying to keep the holidays going around here. And so, you know, it sucks that, like, I always thought growing up that, hey, once I got older and our families, you know, my cousins and everything, we'd all get together and have all that. But I think as technology's changed, like back then, we didn't have everything that people have now with their cell phones, and they're all involved in themselves now. Where back then, you know, everybody, all you had was like a rotary phone and shit like that. So, you know, you kept in touch. You didn't have email and computers and that kind of stuff.
Right.
And so you had to have your family to keep alive. I guess, you know,
your conversations.
How I want to say it. And nowadays it's just not like that. And I find it sad, but also I don't really want to be bothered with people anyway. So, I'm sad, but you know, I hope it doesn't, like, I hope the next generation after us continues on with some kind of a tradition, you know, cause it'll be a shame if it just all goes away. Like already this year with the taking the peanuts off the air for Christmas and the Halloween and Thanksgiving specials, and you know, one by one they're getting rid of the tradition, and there's not going to be anything left pretty soon. And it's sad.
I think on the other end of the spectrum now, though, you know, in 2020, especially this year, it's been fucking crazy.
With your family.
Yeah, well, exactly, that too. But I've noticed that a lot of people aren't really giving a fuck about anything anymore, and just kind of, you know, they want to put their lights up. Like, I saw when I went to go get Bebops last night, they were all fucking decked out in Christmas lights and shit. And it's like, you can tell it was done by, like, a 16, 17-year-old, but I love that, because they probably weren't told to do that. Like, don't put up Christmas stuff, because, you know, all the Kwanzaa people are gonna get upset. And, like, I just think now...
Did you just call them Kwanzaa people?
Yeah, anybody like that who celebrates anything but Christmas. It's like nowadays you've got to really look at, much like you look at some people often look at people with tattoos like, oh, you're unemployable. It's like, listen, just as long as everybody's having respect for one another and everybody's being cool with each other, who the fuck cares? Like, it's Christmas, dude. Like, Christmas is the most, like...
wonderful time of the year.
Aw.
Oh boy, keep singing. I have to go take a cold shower.
It's the most
wonderful time. You're welcome, Nudie.
Oh, I'm going to turn on the camera just for you, Dan. Guys, we'll be right back in 2 minutes, okay?
Holy shit. All right. Dan, all right, let's get to you. What is your rating of National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation?
Hands down, this is a 5. This is why we chose this movie for, you know, 12 Days of Christmas. It's just a classic, and, you know, I'm going to bring this up on every episode, but I'll say it again. It's gotta stand the test of, will this movie get me into the Christmas spirit? And watching it today, you know, in preparation for this podcast... man, was it fun. Holy fuck, did it get me into the Christmas spirit. Like, I already am kind of in it, but if you're looking for a way to, like, thrust yourself into it like Clark does on that sled with just a big flame, watch this movie. It's fucking fantastic. It's one of my favorites. And if you don't watch this during Christmas, leading up to Christmas, it feels like you are missing something.
Yeah, like,
you know,
I completely agree.
Yeah.
Like, it's definitely tradition, and I remember watching it, like, so my Christmas morning tradition is watching Christmas Story. My Christmas Eve tradition, this was always playing over at my Aunt Dena's house while we didn't have, like, presents or anything really there. I mean, we did when we were kids, but, like, when we got older, obviously not, but this was always playing there, and it always just feels like... it feels like home. This movie feels like home.
Do you guys still get stockings?
From my grandma, yeah.
Yeah, we put up stockings when, I don't know about this year, but we have pretty much every year.
It's almost just as fun. Lacey's grandma got me a stocking last year.
Aww.
Yeah.
But yes, your rating, Lacey Lou.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it's a fucking 5.
Yeah.
You already you kidding know. Me, Clark?
Or, you no. kidding me, Clark? You kidding me?
Serious?
I wouldn't be more surprised, Lacey, if I woke up with my head sewn to the carpet.
Well, Moody, it is a bit nipply out. Wow. I mean, nippy.
Couldn't be any more hooter. I mean, hotter in here.
You guys are fucking nuts. yeah, no, I mean, it literally checks off every box of what, you know, a family Christmas movie should be. Even right. though, like, I didn't get the jokes when I was a kid, right. I still fucking loved it.
That's what I meant about Clark's comedy. I never really picked up on it that much as a kid. When I watched it this time, I'm like, holy fuck, Clark's fucking ruthless.
Yeah. Do you want me to leave you for dead?
Leave you in the middle of the woods for dead.
Yeah, I mean, it's without a doubt a 5. I mean, it's just classic. How about you, Newts? I
think definitely. It's a every year watch for me, for sure, multiple times as we get yes. closer. Like, literally, I watched it today for this show, and I'm going to watch it probably a couple more times before Christmas gets here. What you mentioned earlier about A Christmas Story, I kind of, that movie slipped by me for the longest time.
Oh, yeah?
I just got into it the last few years, and that's another one now that I watch every year. Maybe not as often as this one. I like it, but I think this one is the superior of the two. So on
that's
this,
great
this
that
one,
you, that's great that you can like actually say, like, hey, I don't have nostalgic for it. It's great, but it's not like my favorite.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I love Darren McGavin because I've always been a Cold Jack the Night Stalker fan, and I love anything that guy's in, and he's great in that movie too, but this one just always brings it to me. This one always makes me laugh at certain scenes, and it's just perfect movie for me. For Christmas movie, it's a 5 out of 5 for sure.
Hell yes.
Well, right on, Nudie. If you like what you heard today, where can they hear you?
Oh my Lord. The NFW podcast. One of the longest running podcasts on the Horrorphilia Network. We are now on the Dark Discussion Network, the Hard to Kill podcast, and It's Not Horror, Okay?
Okay!
And we just started a new one. We only have one episode out, and we're only going to be doing it whenever we get bored, but it's called Is It Really That Bad? And the first episode was the 1990-ish Fantastic Four movie made by Roger Corman.
Oh, and yes, so, the answer is yes, it is that bad.
We didn't give it a really that bad movie rating because we kind of had fun with it, watching it as a group. I mean, if you watch it alone, yeah, it sucks. But if you watch it together.
It's a great premise, though, for a show. I love that.
Well, yeah, we were supposed to do It's Not Horror, and then some people had to back out, so I was like, well, fuck, I still want to record. So then I just came up with that idea off the top of my head, and I was like, shit, that sounds like a fun little thing. So it's not going to be like a weekly show or whatever, just whenever we decide to put it out. So that's also on Dark Discussions #1 episode. So if you want to check that out, give us a listen and let us know what you think. And I'm on Facebook and on Dan's Cut to the Chase group making fun of him and with memes, so...
Absolutely loved it, yes. And if you guys are enjoying the 12 Days of Chasemas, you can catch us up on our next episode, Put That Cookie Down, where we cover Jingle All the Way. So for everyone that's been a part of this one, this is Lacey Lou and Dan Chase with Jingle Balls Out. Peace out. H-Town down.
The sun to shine by day and all the stars at night. Melikilikimaka is a wise way to say Merry Christmas to you.
Melikilikimaka is a thing to say on a bright Hawaiian Christmas day. That's the island greeting that we send to you from the land where palm trees sway. Here we know that Christmas will be green and bright, the sun to shine by day and all the stars at night. Melikalikimaka is a wise way to say Merry Christmas to you. sunshine by day and all the stars at night.
Melikilikimaka is a wise way
to say Merry Christmas to you. Melikilikimaka is a thing to say on a bright Hawaiian Christmas day. That's the island greeting that we send to you from the land where palm trees sway.
Here we know that Christmas will be green and bright,
the sun to shine by day and all the stars at night. Melikalikimaka is a wise way to say Merry Christmas.
A very Merry Christmas.
A very, very